Well, let's begin here. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. Lord, in the next few moments, captivate our heart with your truth. Let your word settle in. Help us to be challenged. May your Holy Spirit continue to do his holy and righteous work inside of us, Lord. Help us. Help us to be more like Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So when you hunger after God, something happens. And it kind of, if you're not careful, it can de-energize your pursuit of God. If you're not careful, it will... It'll make you uncomfortable in the pursuit of God. And we see it because when you get hungry after God, other appetites will arise. Righteous appetites arise in your heart and your life. Because Christianity and the pursuit of God is not one-dimensional. Do you hear me? So one of the things that happens when you pursue God is this. God, when you're right with God, he wants you right with all your relationships. And that's why he says to go and forgive. That's why he says to go and love. Why? Because when you're loving God, when you're pursuing him, he wants you to be right with all your relationships. And some people make that very difficult. Have you found that to be true? Now, probably the most difficult person in the whole scheme of things is you. You know, because we're good at it's everybody else. If they would do it. And I'm going to tell you something. You it. Sometimes it's you that's the most difficult. Sometimes it's you that needs to change the most. Sometimes it's you that needs to change your attitude. You notice how quiet it got. Listen to this. Here's a good example. Look, Isaiah chapter 6. It's the call of Isaiah, and he sees God. I mean, he sees God like never before. And I just in the year King Uzziah died. Now think, a tragedy happens and something changes. He says, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. They were calling one to another. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Man, that must have been something. Amen? Shaking and quaking and smoking. And then he says this, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among people of unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. This is what happens when you see God, you see yourself. You see, when Isaiah saw how holy and majestic and wonderful God is, at the end of that scheme, he said, woe is me. He knew he needed something done inside of him that he himself could not do. And when you get hungry after God, when you begin to pursue God like never before, when there's appetite for God comes alive in your heart, and you begin to see him like he is and who he is in Scripture and all around you, there are things about yourself that he reveals that are often not pretty. Woe is me. Woe is me. Are you with me on that? Yeah. And sometimes, if you're not careful, you'll resist the pursuing of God because of what God's got to do inside of you. We'll push away the Holy Spirit. We'll push away the Word because we don't like it. I probably shouldn't tell this, but I'm going to tell it anyway. You can send me the emails, okay? This guy posted his little thing on this. This couple came down in front of the church. He was having a revival meeting, and they came down for prayer. And he came down. They came down, and he just looked at him. He says, "Are you guys sleeping together?" He said their eyes told him everything he needed to know. He says, "I can't bless what God says no to." What God calls a sin, I can't bless. They got mad. They puffed up. And as they're walking out of the church, they shoot him the finger. In church. The truth of the matter is, they weren't shooting the finger to the preacher. They were living their lives shooting the finger to God. Because God calls us to be holy. And the pursuit of God means you're going to pursue our desire to be holy before Him. Amen? And holy in what? Holy in every area of your life. In the things you're thinking about, in the things you're saying, in the things that you're meditating on in your heart, the things you're possessing, consuming in your body, the things that you're watching on TV, all of that stuff. Yeah. So here's the thing that gripped Isaiah the most. It was this hunger to be forgiven. Aren't you glad God knows how to forgive us? And God forgives like no other. Nobody else can forgive like God. You know why? Because the scripture says this. He puts it in the sea of His forgetfulness. Now that's the God who created everything, knows everything, and is wiser than you could ever imagine from beginning to end. And He chooses to forget your sin. By what? By repentance. You know what that means? He never brings it up again. Now, the enemy does, because he's the accuser of the brethren. So he will come up and he'll say, "You remember when you did that?" And that's when you have to say, "God forgave me. God forgave me. I may remember, but God doesn't, and that's what counts, His memory on this case." Do you hear me that? We got to remind ourselves of that. So in the midst of His forgiving us, we're cleansed, and that begins the process to becoming healed. So forgiving others is not about giving them a gift. It's about giving us a gift of transformation that we can move beyond the offense. We've all met the person who's just decided to hang their hat, their coat, their whole life on the offense that has come their way. And all they live is angry and ugly and mean, and everybody treats them like, it's a terrible thing. Can I tell you, that is not God's design and purpose for your life. Forgive, Scripture says, as He forgave you. You know what I know that requires? The Holy Spirit's help. The Holy Spirit's help. So there's this hunger to be forgiven when we pursue God. And then there's there is a hunger to be healed. A hunger to be healed. And I think that healing can happen several different ways. When I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I didn't realize how much emotional healing He needed to do in my life. From all the stuff and the junk that accumulated in my life, you know, sometimes we can just be a trash can. And if we're not careful, all that trash accumulated over the life that we've lived can just hinder the work of God in our lives. And he needs to heal us emotionally. So when you're seeking after him, he begins to reveal this woundedness inside of your soul, your heart, your emotions, and he wants to heal it. And I'm going to tell you this, it is more difficult for the Holy Spirit to heal emotional wounds than a broken bone. Because it's a process of love that brings healing. That's no longer an issue. Amen? Jesus is good that way. And we all know what emotional wounds are. You know, the wounds of betrayal, the woundedness through loss, and family issues. How many of you have a perfect family? Let me see your hand. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Huh? Yeah, that's why you're the way you are. It's the way I am. And so, you know, it is what it is. Amen? Listen, don't expect me to be perfect. Because I'm not expecting you to be perfect. At that point, you should say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Listen, if you're looking for perfection, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And if you're the person that has the gift to see everybody's imperfection, and that's what dominates your whole scheme of living, you're captivated by everything that's wrong in life, you need to be healed. Because God didn't intend for you to live that way. Amen? Yeah. So there's this emotional healing that's got to happen in our, and I think sometimes there's some mental healing that's got to happen in our life. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but my attitude can get pretty ugly. And I got to let him heal my mental activity, my mental stuff. And sometimes there's a healing of character. So I don't know about you, but when I was born a liar. I was born a fornicator. I was born an adulterer. I was born a sinner. How many know that all of that stuff comes with being human? And if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to change your character and make you into something that he wants you to be, you're going to fall prey to the natural inclinations of sin. That's why it's important that as you pursue God, you let him work on the character, your integrity, your life. Amen? Yeah. We must get healed in these areas because they will sabotage and destroy our relationships. And God uses relationships to refine us and to expand his kingdom. Expand his kingdom. Expand his kingdom. So the proverb says this, iron sharpens iron. That means the friends in my life do what? They point out things that need help. And this is what you have to learn and realize real quick like about the things of God. Are you ready? People see things in your life and they're going to point it out, but you got to understand and realize what people are seeing. They're seeing them through their own filter. You understand? For some people, everybody's a liar. That's because they're a liar. Do you understand? They see everything through the filter of their own lives. And you have to do that. So when someone comes up to you and says certain things about you, you have to remember that they have a filter that they're saying. And this is what I've learned to do with the critics in my own life. Trust me, I've had a few. I take it to the Lord in prayer. I take it to the Lord in prayer. God, if this is something I need to be healed from, you heal it. If there's something that needs to be changed in me, you change it, Lord. Because listen, if you're gonna run your life based on the opinion of everybody else, you're going to be in trouble. That's why it's important that when you get a critic, you take that to the Lord in prayer. Why? Because your Father knows how to process that in you and measure it just right and show you what needs to be done and what not needs not to be done. You with me on that? Yeah, so there is healing. And then there is this hunger for healing, forgiveness, and then there's this hunger to be holy. There ought to be this hunger in our hearts to be holy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that could defile the body and the spirit, and thus accomplish holiness out of reverence for God. You know, we've come to this age now in the church. Well, there's nothing I need to do to be holy. God just makes me holy through his blood. Well, he does. But don't try to think that you have no responsibility in maintaining your holiness before God. There are certain things that you need not do, but because it betrays your relationship with him. That's why he says this, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that could defile body and spirit. Why the body? Because the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You and I need to take care of this temple. Amen? Yes. Not only that, our spirits, be careful what you're taking in, what you're thinking on, you've got to pay attention to these things. Amen? I mean, after all, Jesus said to the lady, to several people, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. We have such cheap grace today. And we treat God's redemption so cheaply. Well, he'll forgive me. I'm just going to go ahead and sin. He'll forgive me. He loves me so much. I'm just going to go ahead and sin. Can I tell you something? You are trampling underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture says. That's not what Pastor Larry says. You ought to honor the sacrifice of his son by living holy before him. Now listen, that doesn't mean you're going to make it all right. You understand? You're not going to do everything right. But when the Holy Spirit shows up to convict you, repent. And then invite his power to help you to live above the problem. Amen? He can do that. You see, the promises of God should lead us to cleansing. I love it when the scripture says this, body and spirit, because what the enemy wants us to do is separate our lives from our spiritual life, from our secular life, from our family life, from our work life. And you can be one thing in this place and another thing in this place and another thing in this place. Wrong. Let me tell you something. God came to make you whole. And every part of your life whole. Amen? Yes. Yes. We need to take care of this temple. You know, there are certain physical acts that can defile us spiritually. Matter of fact, Paul says this, anyone that sins sexually sins against their own selves. And that affects you spiritually. Spiritually. Help me to walk with integrity, Lord, in a pornified America. Amen? Yeah. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says this, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Glory to God. Amen. And you know what that means? We can do that. We can do that. That's the beauty of it. When God says for us to do a certain thing, he invites, he gives us the power to do it. He doesn't just send us out to go do it. He doesn't send us in our own strength. He doesn't send us in our own power, in our own mental skills and abilities. No, he invites us to ask the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to empower us to do what he has commanded to do. That's why Paul can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. That's Jesus at work in our lives. So we got to work on our body and what we allow to possess us. We also have to work on our spirit. There are things that will mess us up spiritually, but what we take on. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't watch horror movies. I just don't do it. There's spiritual darkness behind some of that stuff I don't want in my house, don't want in my head. And I don't like being scared either. There are certain things of the world that have spiritual influence into our world. And you need to be very careful with that. Do you hear me? I remember I was probably 14 years old. My dad was listening to this country and western song, country music song about this woman loving another man and all that kind of stuff. And he's just listening to that, listen to that, listen to that, listen to that, listen to that. He just listened to it all the time. And then he comes into the house one day and says, "You," to my mom, which I thought was hilarious, "you loving another man, aren't you?" Why? Because he let that music influence his thought life, and now it infected the home. That's why you ought to worship Jesus. Do you hear me? You ought to worship Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, and I'm almost done. Thank God. I'm not saying that. You might be. I'm not. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Listen, rather we have renounced the secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Now, notice what he did first. This is what we have to do, cleanse our spirits. What do? We renounce. We get rid of. We tell what we were involved in the previous life, what it really is. That was falsehood, that was a lie, that was deception, and I renounce it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We renounce things. We don't try to say, well, I learned something from that and I can be a better person because of that teaching, even though it was heretical, an error, and of the devil. Renounce it. Why? Because his truth is precious and his truth won't compete with a lie. Isn't it amazing how people manipulate the truth? Isn't it interesting how people manipulate the lie to make it sound like the truth? Yeah. We are a people of the truth, and we love the truth because we love him. Jesus talked about the house that needed to be swept clean. And that's what we have to do when we come to him. Sweep the house clean, Lord. Amen? This house. Sweep it clean, this house. Sweep it clean. Sweep it clean, Lord. I want to be squeaky clean. And then we got to make sure we fill that house up with righteous stuff. Do you understand? With fellowship of the saints and the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of the word. We got to fill it up with the right thing. And listen, you're tempted to pick up the residue of the past. You're tempted to pick up the way you used to think and what your daddy used to call you. You got to remind your head about the word of God, about the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, and who you belong to now is the Father in heaven who loves you more than you could ever imagine, who sent his son to die for you. You are a treasured possession of heaven, and you ought to declare that every day of your life. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Why don't you stand with me, would you? Hallelujah. I want us to read Psalm 107, verse 9. 107, verse 9. He satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. What's he do? You guys just flunked remedial reading. We're going to try it again, all right? You ready?
Yes.
Here it is. Let's do it together, all right? Lord, I thank you that you are amazing in the way you work with us, Lord. You're gentle and kind. You're amazing, Lord, at how you deal with me, how you deal with us, how you transform us. Thank you, Lord God, for the potter's will. Thank you, Lord, that you know how to form the vessel. You know how to work by your Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives, Lord. God, help us as we pursue you to allow you to heal us. To heal our hearts, our lives, our soul, our spirit, our emotions, our minds. That same mind that was in Christ Jesus would be in us. God, I have to admit right now that it's very easy for me to think the wrong things. Would anybody else raise their hand about that? Would you just raise your hand if you got a problem with that in your heart, your life? You just kind of, God, you got to fix that in me. Yeah, okay. That's about a third of us. Lord, heal us. Purify our thoughts. Lord, there are some emotional things that I drag with me sometimes, and I need you to loose me. How many in this place would say, Pastor Larry, that's me. I have some emotional junk that God needs to heal in my life. Yeah. That's another third of us. God, I thank you that you satisfy the thirsty. And I thank you, Lord God, that in the pursuit of you, you began to heal and transform and work in us, Lord. To love the people you put in our lives. To walk, Lord, with integrity. To walk, oh God, before you and you alone. God, we just invite you to do what you need to do inside of my heart and my life, Lord. In my pursuit of you, Lord, help me not to run from the things you need to fix, from the things you need to heal in me. God, bless us right now. Thank you for making us righteous through your blood, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us a heart to walk holy before you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to rise above this world and to walk in the light, in the sun. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.